Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. What's up? This is a live show, the Ant Canary Experience. It is May 19th, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. I'll be here until 8:30. Welcome. Thank you for listening and all that good stuff. Tonight we're going to do a little different. Usually I just do the news tonight. We've got a topic that I want to talk about tonight, and I'm trying to do it. And there's a lot of noise outside. Anyway, so we're going to change the format up. Let me give you the phone number to call in if you want to call in. You got until 8:30 to call in. 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And before we get into the show, I've got a call on, so let me hit the button and see who we have. Let's see, hit the button.
All right, here we go.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, okay. All right, I got you. All right. Appreciate you. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
So tonight, okay, no problem. So like I said, tonight we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. But before we do, there's something I want to do before we do that. But well, a couple of things I want to do before we do that. Let me give you the current numbers on the coronavirus. I got these numbers. And what I try to do is now, since we got this going on, I try to give the current numbers before we get into the before we get to the show. So right now, globally, there are 4,834,449 cases of coronavirus. This is around the world. We've got 319,147 deaths, and this is globally, and around the world. And in the United States, we have 1,509,202 cases, and we have 90,373 deaths. So pretty soon we're going to hit the 100,000 death in this pandemic, which is just crazy. And that's just in the United States alone. And this is from what the other side calling a hoax, warm weather would kill it. No, I'm not going to get into that tonight because that's not what we're talking about. But I just want to give out those numbers just to keep you current on what's going on with that. So like I said, before we get into this, I do want to play a clip. There was a murder a few weeks ago in Louisville. A young lady named Breonna Taylor was murdered by the Louisville Police Department. And I say murdered because she was, in my opinion, she was murdered. But every time the cops or whatever kills, you know, innocent black person, you know, they got to spin it. They got to pretend they didn't, you know, you know what the deal is. We go through this mess all the time. And this is from what I found. I'm looking for this a couple of days ago, trying to find the latest on it. And what I heard, and I heard something this morning when I got off work, is that the cops went to the wrong apartment looking for the wrong person. They ended up killing this young lady. Her boyfriend didn't know who was coming into the house, so he fired a shot back. Didn't get anybody. They arrested him for protecting his own place. So they trying to charge him on some mess, which it's crazy. It's crazy. But as usual, they will pretend that they didn't do anything wrong. They will lie about it, blah, blah, blah. And this young lady had nothing to do with none of this. Coming to find out that the person that they were looking for, he was already in custody. And you know, stuff like this, you should be shocked by it, but then again, you shouldn't be shocked by it because we've been dealing with this stuff seem like forever. So let me just give you the latest update on this. This is a clip from Roland Martin. And the information I heard this morning was from Reverend Al on one of the morning talk shows. So we're going to listen to this before we get into the topic tonight, because I think this is, you know, this is insane stuff. You know, young man in Georgia that was killed, you know, a few months ago. Seems like all of a sudden stuff like this, you know, it happens and then it goes, you know, then it kind of quiets down for a while, then it starts back up again. And then you get the same mess. It's like every time somebody gets killed from some stuff like this, everybody wants, not everybody, but people on the other side want to make the victim look some type of way. And they're trying to do the same thing with the young man down in Georgia. Hadn't heard anything with them, you know, with this young lady, because she's innocent. She didn't have anything to do with none of this. And she was killed for no reason. But, you know, it is what it is. So let's play this, and we'll be right back.
You want to support Roller March Unfiltered? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real as Roller March Unfiltered. Support the Roland Martin Unfiltered Daily Digital Show by going to RolandMartinUnfiltered.com. You can make this possible.
Folks, Breonna Taylor, 26 years old, EMT in Louisville. She wanted to be a nurse. She was out there working on behalf of the people who were impacted by COVID-19. Well, on March 13th, she was in her apartment with her boyfriend. Around midnight, cops busted into the apartment. Her boyfriend, not knowing who they were, began to fire shots at them. More than 20 bullets were fired by the cops. When it all was done, Breonna Taylor was dead. Last month, her family filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the Louisville Police Department, who executed the search. This is what the Washington Post, this is a story by Erin Haynes, in partnership with the Washington Post, wrote. She's with the 19th, which is an organization, journalism organization, focused on women's issues. Look at this, folks, here. This is actually stunning. According to the lawsuit, filed April 27th, Louisville police executed a search warrant at Taylor's home, looking for a man who did not live in Taylor's apartment complex and had already been detained when officers came to Taylor's apartment after midnight. Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, was also in the apartment and, according to the lawsuit, shot at officers when they attempted to enter without announcing themselves. The lawsuit alleges that police fired more than 20 rounds of ammunition into the apartment. This, Amisha, is a stunning story. To look at the details that you're executing a warrant for a guy who doesn't live in the complex. They then find out that the guy who they were looking for was already in police custody. She's dead, 26. No one has talked to her mother to explain what the hell happened.
The whole time you were going over that case, I was sitting here trying not to cry, just because not only is it extremely egregious and particularly disturbing, it's also the fact that there is such gross negligence on behalf of the police in this case that I'm almost at a loss for words. Because at any given point, and we've seen this happen in other cases where doors are, you know, bust down, people are shot when the police wind up at a house that they're not supposed to be at, or they're chasing someone who doesn't live in the area that they're actually looking to. But to actually already have this person in custody and to still go out and commit that type of atrocity is beyond me. To fire that many rounds, my heart goes out to this young woman's mother, because this is something that was completely preventable. And I'm just wondering at this point, what happens? Where do we go from here? Where is the accountability for this policing entity? Where is the accountability for the officers on the scene? Where is the accountability for those who sent them to that address? Where is the accountability for the entire department who should have known where this guy was? That level of brutality, that level of a mistake that ends in somebody's death and complete murder in that way is something that is just unforgivable.
Kelly, I'm going to read this here. Go back to my iPad. None of the officers involved have been charged in connection with the shooting. Walker, her boyfriend, a licensed gun owner who was not injured in the incident, was arrested and faces charges of first-degree assault and attempted murder of a police officer. How in the hell can you be facing charges when the police bust into the apartment unannounced? You don't know who the hell is busting in. You licensed with a gun. Your deal is I'm protecting me and my girlfriend. And now he's facing charges?
That part is the most disturbing to me outside of the fact that this young woman is dead. Because especially in states like Kentucky, I am almost 100% sure that the Cass Doctrine is still in full effect for private citizens in terms of protecting your home and self-defense. So if somebody is entering your dwelling place and they don't announce themselves as police, they say nothing in terms of saying that they're law enforcement, that it's an emergency, nothing like that. You just hear somebody breaking and entering your dwelling place. That's the fight or flight situation. More so, that's a situation in which you have the right to retaliate because somebody is entering your sanctuary, your safe space. So the fact that this young man is being charged for defending himself for the attempted murder of a police officer, which means that that police officer didn't die. But you know who did? His girlfriend, the person that he was trying to protect in his dwelling place. That's absolutely disgusting to me. The fact that they even had the wherewithal and the insensitivity to charge somebody with the attempted murder of somebody who killed his loved one. They should all be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely. Every single one of them involved with this case, from the person who dispatched those police officers to the house, to the people who didn't do the necessary protocol to let people know that they had the person in custody before they were dispatched to the house, all levels of communication responsible for this incident happening should be ashamed of themselves. Especially the person who pressed charges on behalf of this young man. Because all he was doing is what a white person would have done should somebody try to go into their dwelling place.
Malik,
police officer or not.
Malik, not sure if I've seen the NRA stand up for this gun owner.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything from the NRA on this. You know, I've been on your show since probably almost since the beginning. And we've had these conversations. We've seen these scenarios play out over and over again. Immediately came to mind of the when the police were ended up going around the woman, the lady's house, shining a light in her house, and then ended up shooting, I think, through the screen door. This is disturbing. The entire situation is disturbing from the dispatch, because they were dispatched. Somebody dispatched them to that location. So from the beginning, this was wrong. And it ended up with the young lady, the young man's girlfriend, dead. But what else are you supposed to do? It kind of reminds me of what we were talking about with Ahmaud's death. What are you supposed to do when you see someone, you're running down the street, you're looking at them, a truck in the middle of the road, and you see someone with a gun? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do, Trayvon Martin, when you're walking and you see somebody, some suspicious old looking man following behind you, and you have Arizona tea and Skittles in your hand? What are you supposed to do when you're sitting in your house and you hear that people, or you feel as if people are breaking into your home? You have a gun. You try to defend yourself. And it's so unfortunate that this, his girlfriend is dead, but now we have the layer of attempted murder, not manslaughter or second degree manslaughter or anything like that. Attempted murder. I'm hoping that there's a similar public outrage to this. And I'll just say, whether you are black, white, Asian, Hispanic, or whatever, the police should not come to your home and do what they did. They should not come home to your home and kill the people who are in your own house. So it's unacceptable at all levels. And the fact that we continue to hear these type of story of police abuses, because that's what this is, of police abuses, it's sad, it's disturbing, it's unfortunate, and I wish we weren't here.
Folks, about 9 p.m. Tonight, Tamika Mallory, she is going to have a conversation with Breonna's mother on her Instagram Live page. You want to check that out. And then she'll be talking with Ben Crump on Facebook after that. We certainly will be talking to both of them on this show tomorrow. It is an absolutely stunning story, you know, all across the board. But again, 26-year-old, his sister, 26 years old, minding her own business in her apartment, spending time with her boyfriend. She is dead because Louisville, Kentucky police knocked on the wrong door. The guy they were looking for was already in police custody. And the fact that this took place on March 13th, and here we are almost 2 months later, and not a single police officer has been disciplined for the death of Breonna Taylor. That, folks, is absolutely stunning. And I would love to hear the NRA, why they're not standing up with a boyfriend, a licensed gun owner, for trying to protect him and his girlfriend, yet the cops are hitting him with attempted murder charges. That, to me, folks, is just unbelievable. Just makes no sense whatsoever. Every single night, we've got some of the top black experts. You're not...
Okay, so that's the end of that clip. The NRA is not going to step up and say anything because he's a brother. The NRA only cares about, and I'm going to say this, I mean, you know, I'll say it because other people see it also. The NRA doesn't care about anybody else in their group if they ain't white. That's the bottom line. And it's not a lie, because this young man had a license. So he could carry. So it's not like somebody that was out, you know, what a gang, you know, gangbanger or something like that. This guy was licensed to carry. So he was legit. And they're, you know, according to their definition. So if he was legit, why aren't they going to say anything? They're not going to say anything because he's the wrong color. And they don't care. A lot of these laws are just, you know, well, you have to understand, you know, you have to go way back. There was a time in this country where black people couldn't own guns. I mean, and there's still people in this country that think that black people and minority and brown people should not be able to carry guns. They won't come out and say it, but we know it. They think the only people that should be able to carry guns, the only people that should be able to buy guns in this country are white folk. That's it. Nobody else should be able to carry a gun. So the NRA won't say anything about it because they don't care. The guy is the wrong color. So they're not going to say anything. Now, if this had happened in a white neighborhood where the cops went to the wrong house, you know, the same story, but just reversed, yeah, you might hear them say something. But, excuse me, they're not going to say anything about this story because the guy is the wrong color. And they don't care. They pick and choose who they talk about. If it's not going to do anything to help them, help their cause or whatever, they're not going to say anything about it. They're just going to be quiet. They won't say a peep about it. But if it's something that might be able to help them or whatever, yeah, they might come say something. But you know, if it's not going to help them, they ain't saying nothing. So they're not going to say anything about this. You know, they tell us that, you know, if you're in your home and somebody tries to break in your house, you can defend your house. The only thing is that I'm not a legal expert on this, but the only thing is, and well, I've read and heard about some stuff. If somebody was trying to break into your house and they didn't actually come into the house, but you know, they broke down the door or something like that. They didn't actually come in the house, but you know, they saw you coming at them with a gun and they turned around and ran and trying to get away. You might get in trouble if you shot them on the sidewalk or you shot them in the back as they was running from your house or something like that. Now, if you shot them in your house, you're good because you were defending your house. But if you shot them away from the house and they were running away from you, you might could get in some trouble. But, you know, like I said, I'm not an expert, but stuff like that has happened. So if you're in your own house defending your house and somebody tries to break into your house, you should be able to defend your house. So why are they trying to charge him with this mess? It's just, I'm not surprised. And nobody hearing the story should be surprised about it either, because that's how fucked up this country has become. And it's not good. But here's the, and the guy was already in custody. Where are, and I know they have them. Where are the computers that have all this information on them? And if you know you're looking for somebody, shouldn't this have occurred to somebody to check something to see if they could find out where this guy was? Because I'm sure if he was already in custody, something would have said that he was already in custody. So all of this would have been avoided. Because if somebody would have sat down at a computer and put his name in and all this kind of stuff, it should have shown that he was in the Louisville jail. And somebody, hey, no, we don't have to go. He's already, we already got him. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Yeah. So we're good. So why wasn't anything like that checked? The whole story just sounds, it's just screwed. it's really screwed. So, but I did want to play that, and I'll try to stay on top of that, and I'll try to give you updates as they come. Also, you know, update young brother's story down in Georgia also. So I'll try to keep you updated on that as we get the updates. So tonight we're going to be talking about conspiracy theories. And with all the mess going on in the world, they are all over the place. I'm not going to, there's no way I could talk about all of them because there's just way too many of them. So we're going to talk about three of them tonight. We're going to talk about, there's a conspiracy theory about 5G, and that's the cell phone towers and stuff like that. We're going to talk about the Illuminati, which Jay-Z and Beyonce are members of, that I had no idea they were members of. And the coronavirus has its own conspiracy theories, that it was made in a laboratory, that I can't even get to all that mess. It's just way too much. And the thing with these things are, I'm not doing the story to either convince you to believe them or not. I don't care. I don't believe them. Because I think, you know, if you come down to the root of them, once you find out what they're actually talking about, anybody with a brain would be like, this is bullshit. I'm not listening to this. But I think a lot of people listen to these things because it's just getting to the point now, it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. And these are the same people out there howling about they want the truth. But when you give them the truth, if it doesn't sound like anything that they want it to sound like, then it's a lie. And, you know, so it's easy to believe lies instead of actually sitting down and I've said this before. If you have a phone in your pocket, you have a computer in your pocket. Now, it's not a laptop computer. It's not a desk computer. It is a computer. And the damn things are more powerful than the computers that they used to have back in the day when they were sending rockets to the moon. So you do have a computer in your pocket. So if you hear a story, you could take 10 minutes out of your day and look it up. A lot of people do. A lot of people don't. If I hear something that sounds crazy, if I'm not doing anything, I'll go ahead and see if I can find any information about it. 9 times out of 10, it's bullshit. But, you know, some people believe anything they hear because, you know, if their mindset is on one thing, then they'll believe, you know, if they get any news on it, they'll believe it. They don't care if it's the truth or not. One story I was gonna put in, but it'd probably take too long, is the Pizzagate thing that happened a couple of years ago, where there was a pizza joint in D.C. that was selling kids in the basement and all this other kind of bullshit, and people jumped all over. Come to find out it was a lie. Come to find out that a guy from the state, North Carolina, went to D.C. with a gun. I don't know who he was going up there to shoot, but the cops got him. And I forgot what his name was, but I'm thinking he's still sitting in jail. Come to find out that the pizza joint didn't have a basement, and it was a lie, but he went up there to go defend the children's, and the cops picked him up and threw him in jail. You know, it's this type of stuff that's just, you know, some people, you know, if they have an agenda, they will believe anything they hear to fit that agenda. You know, damn the truth. You know, and these are the same people hollering, I want the truth. But then when you give them to them, it's like, nah, that don't fit what I'm thinking. You know, that doesn't go with what I'm thinking. So I'm not even going with it. The first clip on that is, before we get to the other clips, we need to find out exactly what these conspiracy theories are. Find out what a conspiracy theory is and why people think about them the way they do. Because like I said, I'm not doing this show I'm not trying to convince anybody. You can, you know, this is America, damn it. You can believe whatever you want to believe. And if you want to believe in these stories, well, hell, knock yourself out. Because a lot of them, if you really, like I said, if you really come down to the bottom of them, are bullshit. And they sound like bullshit. But people will believe anything because that's the type of world and that's the kind of country we live in now. you know, we have access to information, but nobody wants to do anything to look into it. You know, I'm old school. I'm from a time where we didn't have home computers. We didn't have cell phones. If you needed any information, you had two sources. Your encyclopedia set that every house had, because you had to have one, or you went to the library. That was it. So back then, you know, if you're young listening to the show, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. Back then, almost every house, you had to have, if you didn't have it, you had to have access to, you know, World Book Encyclopedia or some kind of encyclopedia set to look up stuff. That's where we got our information back in the, you know, because we used to get book reports and we had to write reports and stuff. And as soon as you got out of school and went home, you went straight to that encyclopedia set and you had to, that's where you got, either you did that or you went to the library. And since the Rona has got the libraries closed, right now the only way to either look up stuff is on your phone or your laptop or your tablet or whatever. And so, I mean, the information is right at your fingertips. But because it's too easy to get information, a lot of people just are to hell with it. They hear the stuff and they go, oh, I can't believe it, you know. And Fox News is the main one spreading all that bullshit, but I digress. So let's play this clip, and I'll be right back.
And you can see the stars and stripes on the limit.
Conspiracy theories have been around for centuries. In fact, many historians believe that the American Declaration of Independence was created in response to a potential British plot that actually didn't exist.
And while you may not think that you believe in any conspiracy theories, they follow such an effective cognitive formula that you might believe in one right now without even realizing it.
Watch his eyes.
Shocking footage has emerged of Justin Bieber that appears to show transform into a giant lizard.
Boom.
Studies have found that actually over 50% of Americans believe in at least one conspiracy theory.
Oh my god!
YouTube and other social media platforms have come under a lot of fire for conspiracy theory content proliferation online, so we wanted to investigate two things.
One, whether or not there has been a measurable rise in conspiracy theories in recent years.
And two, how conspiracy theories work to manipulate your brain so you can better defend yourself against their tactics and ultimately find out what it means if you believe in one in the first place. From an evolutionary perspective, biologists hypothesize that we've been programmed to fall for conspiracy theories as a protective measure. As hunter-gatherers, violence was a common cause for danger, and so being able to identify conspirators became an evolutionary advantage.
This theory was eventually developed into something that smart academics refer to as the adaptive conspiracism hypothesis. The hypothesis is essentially this. If you're walking in the jungle and you see a snake, but it's actually just a stick. Okay, that's embarrassing, but you're still alive. Theo. But if you're walking in the jungle and you see a stick, no biggie, but it's actually a snake. Okay, oops, you step on it, it bites you, now you're dead. This explains how our brains have been programmed into thinking better safe than sorry when it comes to survival.
In short, we fall for conspiracy theories because they seem like the safer option. It feels a lot better to be prepared for an enemy attack that might not even be there than to not be prepared at all.
This brings us to a pattern found in many conspiracy theories that makes them so effective, and it's called the illusory pattern perception.
The illusory pattern perception is a cognitive bias we humans have evolved. We tend to notice patterns within random stimuli in order to create conceptual meaning behind the world we live in. Let's take a simple example of this scenario. If you flipped a coin 3 times and each time you got heads, what do you think would happen next? If you're unlikely to fall victim to the illusory pattern perception of conspiracy theories, you'd say there was always a 50-50 chance that you get either heads or tails. Because obviously the flips you got before have no impact on the flip you get next. But others who are more prone to illusory pattern perception will think they're more likely to get tails, as 3 heads in a row? That's insane, it has to be tails next. They're noticing a pattern and creating a meaning behind it.
We were deeply entertained by Shane Dawson's conspiracy theory videos. They made us lol, and the music was extremely effective. It's like, move over, Hans Zimmer, there's a new got in town. When we started to apply our research to Shane's videos, whether he intended it or not, we could see the illusory pattern perception.
He establishes a pattern and then directly correlates it to something bigger. For example, while at Chuck E. Cheese, they notice that some of the pizza slices aren't lining up perfectly, and then start to think that maybe they're old recycled pieces.
Pictures of the pieces that don't fit together?
That is pretty crazy.
I mean, come on. It never lines up.
They then see another piece of the pattern, an employee who's looking at an old pizza to see whether or not it's good enough to recycle.
I think he just did a quality check.
Again, these are just pieces of information that are strung together to form a theory that's not necessarily substantiated. Even though there's no solid evidence, it's really entertaining and really enticing. But what's most interesting is that some people might be more convinced based on their biology.
Being vulnerable to conspiracy theories has been directly linked to dopamine in your brain. In one study, after participants were given a drug to increase dopamine levels, they were more likely to exhibit the illusory pattern perception. Another study showed that people with genetically higher levels of free dopamine in their brains were more likely to believe in one or more conspiracy theories.
On top of this, if you have feelings of anxiety, uncertainty, or powerlessness, it can encourage you to search for order within chaos. One study showed participants paintings that were very orderly by Victor Vasarely and paintings with a lot of disorder by Jackson Pollock. The participants were then asked to look for patterns. Everybody was able to see patterns in the orderly Vasarely paintings, but those who found more pattern in the disordered Jackson Pollocks were also more likely to believe in conspiracy theories.
Just to be clear, falling for conspiracy theories does not mean that you are stupid. As humans, we are brilliant, smart animals. Like, for example, if I ever need an ego boost, I just go up to my dog and I'm like, literally, compared to me, you're so dumb. But our brains are susceptible, and this is why we need to be talking about why conspiracy theories may be damaging our society.
Studies show that right now, 37% of Americans believe in the conspiracy theory that global warming is a hoax. Of course, the scientific consensus is that not only does it exist, but it's having an immense impact on our environment and our economy, as well as displacing and killing people.
20% of Americans still believe the conspiracy theory that vaccines cause autism. This one has been extremely rampant on YouTube, Facebook, and Pinterest, and has been helped by celebrities like Charlie Sheen and Kristen Cavallari. Not sure if it's smart to be taking medical advice about safety from someone who casually walks in the middle of the street.
That's when Casey's party is.
I just thought about that.
Whatever, I don't need to go to that. This looks like a Barbie doll, but yeah, okay.
Science again proves that vaccines are one of the most effective ways to prevent disease. And the proliferation of these vaccine hesitancy conspiracy theories online are the reason that measles are now having new outbreaks all over America and the world. And also, the WHO claims that vaccine hesitancy is the third largest threat to global health this year.
Where this all comes to head is the proliferation of conspiracy theories by algorithms, like our favorite, notorious and elusive YouTube algorithm. We're talking to you right now on a platform that is controlled by an algorithm designed to keep you here longer and have you enjoying everything you consume. So you can bet that if you watch a video that's an hour long about conspiracy theories, it's gonna know and think you like that and start suggesting stuff to you. But it's not likely to be the overly pedantic or nuanced or calm videos, but rather the really emotionally intense and stuff that, you know, might contain misinformation.
Combine the technological algorithm with your brainy biological algorithm and you can see why YouTube has a problem on their hands. Former YouTube software engineer Guillaume Chaslot started to speak about how YouTube would actually target vulnerable people to show them conspiracy theory videos to keep them on the platform for longer. He even created a website called Algo Transparency that you can go on right now, and what it does is it shows you the top YouTube channels and the videos that they are currently recommending. While we were researching this video, at the current time we went on the website and the top four videos being recommended had to do with conspiracy theories or secret information. You can go check it right now, like it will be different. It's very interesting to sort of like just keep up and check out what it is that YouTube is suggesting to the world right now.
But interestingly, scholars have actually studied the prevalence of conspiracy theories through the years, and it actually remains pretty consistent. They do, however, say that the internet has displaced the gatekeepers, the producers, editors, and scholars who decide what is worthy of dissemination. This has caused YouTube and other platforms to start actually taking action. Like, Pinterest has actually banned all conversations about vaccines until they can figure out how to manage and stop the spread of misinformation. And YouTube doesn't take down the videos as of now, but they do demonetize anti-vax videos. YouTube has also started putting little Wikipedia blurbs underneath videos that may contain misinformation, and they claim to be reducing recommendations of borderline content.
So now you know, from an evolutionary perspective, why we might fall for conspiracy theories, and the common cognitive formula that makes them work so well, and lastly, why, from a biological perspective, you might be more susceptible. You can check out our podcast for more information about conspiracy theories, because it's where I found out that Mitch was obsessed with them growing up.
Growing up, I used to love a lot of conspiracy theories. I name some of them in the podcast, so you should listen to that.
I think Avril Lavigne is dead and been replaced by a body double.
So check over there. We'll put some links in the description. Otherwise, subscribe, and we'll be back next time for a new video. See ya.
Okay. So that video just pretty much gave you the definition of conspiracy theories. Like I said, there are tons of them. I don't believe a lot of them because, you know, if you really come down to the nitty gritty of them, a lot of them are straight bullshit. But, you know, people like them. And what they say about the YouTube. I'm on YouTube a lot. I work nights, and sometimes it's boring. So I get on YouTube just to see what's going on. I know this is the truth. I'm into video games. I like the Grand Theft Auto series. I like Grand Theft Auto 5. And people have made buku videos on Grand Theft Auto 5. Just people playing different things, riding around, just doing all kinds of stuff. Well, I can get on my YouTube channel right now, page right now, and I've got shitloads of videos from Grand Theft Auto 5 and some of the other ones too. Because they figured out, since I watch them so much, they just give them to me. And I watch a lot of them. And that's the same thing with these. If I started watching conspiracy theory videos and I watch them long enough, all of a sudden my page is going to get full of that crap. I don't watch them, so I don't have it. But if you're into certain things, it's kind of like if you were into there's this little kid from India, I believe, and he cooks. And I started watching his videos. So now they give me a bunch of his videos. So once they figure out what you like to look at, then they start giving you that stuff. So if you're into conspiracy theories and a lot of other, you know, whatever topics you're into, they start giving it to you. And so that's what they're talking about with the biorhythms or whatever they call it. And that's exactly what you know. So if you start, and I'm into pro wrestling. So when I watch some pro wrestling videos, all of a sudden, I get on there, boom, I got a shitload of pro wrestling videos. So it's the same thing here. So if you're into this kind of stuff, so if you're into Pizzagate and all this other kind of mess, all of a sudden you're going to get conspiracy theory videos like the one with John F. Kennedy and the CIA and all this, you know, you start getting stuff like that. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you know, more power to you. I'm not into it. But I just think that it is real easy to come up with stories, and if you have enough people listening to you, then they will pick up your story, and then they will take it and they'll tell somebody else, and they will tell somebody else, and then it keeps growing and growing, and so that's why we got this stuff here. Now the next story I'm going to talk about 5G. Now if you remember the 5G, there was a time not too long ago that people were actually burning down 5G towers, and they were saying that 5G causes cancer and all this other kind of stuff. And then what happened? The story gets out and people start listening, and so it starts picking up steam and it starts going. Then it gets a life of its own and it starts going. It starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. So, you know, whether you're susceptible to these kind of things, I mean, that's, you know, that's, you know, that differs with people. Some people listen to that stuff. Some people don't. I don't listen to it. But, you know, that's just me. So let's talk about this right quick. This is about the 5G towers and all that good stuff.
As 5G technology begins to get implemented all around the world, there's a lot of confusion and concern over what it is, how it works, and if it's even safe. So today, we're going to go over all aspects of 5G. We have our friend and tech expert, MKBHD, who's going to explain why people are so excited about this technology. And then we're going to take the science angle about how it actually works, what it does to your body, and most importantly, what the science says on whether or not it's safe. We have looked at hundreds of scientific papers and journals in order to decipher the truth about 5G, and yes, we will be jumping into some of the conspiracy theories and claims, so stick around for the end of the video when we do that, because they are pretty wild. But first, we're going to throw to our friend MKBHD to tell us about what's going on with 5G tech right now.
Hey, what's up, guys? MKBHD here. So 5G technology, or the fifth generation of these data networks, has been getting a lot of hype, and it's been talked about a lot, and it's been slowly rolled out over the past year or two and getting insane speeds on some phones. So the wavelengths used for 5G technologies can be split into three different sections. There is low band 5G, which use frequencies below about 1 gigahertz. Then there is what you call mid band 5G, which is slot above that, which is faster but travels a shorter distance. And then there's millimeter wave, which is talked about the most, which can give you the fastest speeds and uses the highest frequencies, but travels the shortest distance. And so with 5G, now we're talking about download speeds of anywhere from 50 megabytes per second all the way up to those crazy millimeter wave speeds you might have seen of like 2 gigabytes per second, which is insane. I mean, that's, we're talking like whole TV show season downloads in seconds. So download speeds are nice, but this 5G tech will be useful for far more than just your phone. So having these high-end speeds and low latency in the future will be essential for things like fleets of driverless cars all driving as a swarm and all talking and communicating with each other to never crash, all the way to things like a robot and a surgeon in two different states, but that surgery being performed remotely in real time. So I had the chance to use some early 5G. It was millimeter wave, and it was really impressive, but you could tell it has a long way to go before it can be used and rolled out to the world. For starters, it doesn't travel very far, and it's very easily blocked by obstacles. That's stuff I talked about in my video, so it would take a lot of nodes and a lot of antennas just to cover a small area like a town, let alone a country or the entire globe. And that would be expensive and time-consuming. But even the low to mid-band 5G can still be impressive in terms of improvement in speed. So there's a lot going on, but it is a pretty exciting future of 5G, if I say so myself. But with that comes a lot of fears and concerns about the potential effects of these new frequencies on our biology and on our health. So for that, I'll throw it back to Greg and Mitch to talk through the science of it all.
So how does 5G work? In order to fully understand 5G, we actually have to learn about one of my favorite things, which is the electromagnetic spectrum. And this is a spectrum of radiation. So yes, we will be talking today about radiation, so it does sound scary. But it's important that we know that radiation is just the transmission of energy through waves or particles. On the left of the spectrum, we have really long wavelengths, some as long as thousands of kilometers. And as we move to the right, they get shorter and shorter to even a fraction of the size of an atomic nucleus. Now, a wavelength size is measured from peak to peak or trough to trough, basically the distance over which the wave's shape repeats. Or the size of this literal tattoo on my arm, because yes, I do love the electromagnetic spectrum. As the wavelengths become shorter and shorter, they have higher frequencies and more energy. Frequency describes the number of waves that pass a fixed place in a given amount of time and is usually measured in hertz, Hz. So a low frequency will fit less wavelengths and a high frequency more.
Take gamma rays, for example, which can be 10 to the power of minus 12 meters, which is 0.00000000001 meters. I hope I got the right amount of zeros. And they're generated by radioactive atoms and nuclear explosions. And these gamma rays, along with X-rays and higher energy UV radiation, can damage DNA and destroy cells, also known as being ionizing. Yeah, that's scary. As we move back to the left, the wavelengths get longer and have less and less energy and are no longer ionizing. This part of the spectrum is the wavelength size that the cells in your eyes evolve to see, otherwise known as visible light. Every single wavelength your eyes pick up fall within 400 to 700 nanometers. If we keep moving left, we go through microwaves and radio waves, which are also called radio frequency radiation. This low energy, low frequency radiation has been used in technology like radios since the late 1800s, but it wasn't until the 1980s that the first generation of cellular technology, or 1G, began.
This next chart is from NASA. Ever heard of her? She's famous. And it breaks down all the generations of cellular technology frequencies. 1G cellular tech, we're talking the 1980s, used 150 megahertz, aka UHF, ultra-high frequency waves. 2G was using around 450 megahertz, more ultra-high frequency waves. 3G was allocated frequencies between 450 megahertz all the way up to 3 gigahertz. This was in the spectrum known as super high frequencies. 4G was allocated similar frequencies to 3G, but was taking advantage of some of those higher frequencies, which takes us now to 5G, which is allocated between 600 megahertz to as high as between 38 to 90 gigahertz. So, it is also using a super high frequency section, but for the first time in cellular network technology, it's moved into the extra high frequency section with millimeter wavelength technology, leaving the radio wave section in this graph and chart that we saw earlier to the section of now microwaves. Of course, none of these words help make any of this sound safe. Radiation, super high frequencies, extra high frequencies, microwaves. Thankfully, the electromagnetic spectrum is regulated to keep us all healthy. An important regulating body in all of this is the International Commission of Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, which is essentially a conglomeration of epidemiologists, biologists, and physicists, and people who understand this technology very deeply, who take all the most up-to-date science and make sure they understand and regulate what this radiation is doing to all of us. It's also important to note that this regulating body isn't connected to any one government or country or commercial corporation.
Which leads to the big question, how do 5G waves affect us? We know that 5G frequencies are not ionizing radiation, but should we be worried about them impacting our body in other ways? After decades of research on health effects, the ICNIRP found the only substantiated effect of radio frequency exposure is heating of exposed tissue. These wavelengths can cause vibration of charged or polar molecules inside of us, which creates friction and thus heat. But the higher the frequency, the lower the penetrative depth in the body. Which might seem a little unnerving, and I think it's fair to have concern because technically there is a thermal threshold that if we pass can cause adverse health effects on us. But that's why all these regulating bodies are there, to make sure that our exposure never goes over that threshold. In fact, acute and long-term effects of radio frequency exposure below the thermal threshold have been studied extensively without demonstrating adverse health effects. Research has even been done on headaches, sleep quality, cognitive function, etc., and has shown no issues. One other thing that was found was a small effect on brain activity when measured by EEGs, but the biological implication of what that means is pretty small, and they haven't actually seen any negative effects associated to this brain activity.
So why do some people say that 5G can cause cancer? There are a few studies that often get quoted. In one, lab rats and mice were exposed to radio frequency energy used in cell phones for 9 hours a day starting before birth and for 2 years after, and found an increased risk of some types of tumors in the male rats. But the male rats exposed to the radio frequency radiation actually ended up living longer than the other rats, and the female rats and all of the mice in the experiment didn't have an increase in tumors at all. Some other epidemiological studies have found a small increase in some brain tumors in people who are heavy users of cell phones, but it was actually found that there were reporting biases and weaknesses in these studies. Also, it's important to remember that these studies are on cell phone use, so they're actually talking about 3G, 4G, and 5G frequencies. The consensus among scientists is that 5G technology will not cause cancer, but it is very confusing to figure out this information when you are looking online. For example, even this article in Scientific American would make you worried that cell phones and 5G could cause cancer, even though the studies are not corroborated and some of his claims are just opposite of what the study actually says. This happens a lot with scientific information. It gets cherry-picked to mislead people. Read Scientific American a week later and you get most of the prior article's information debunked. But both of these articles are from seemingly scientifically accurate sources, so it can be very confusing. No shade, I guess, to Scientific American. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is scientists looking at large trials with large sample sizes and controlling variables. One very large 13-country-wide study found that there was no causal relationship between brain tumors and cell phone use. And another really great Danish study, large study, I sound like Trump right now, great, huge, large study, also found that there was no link. Okay, so let's talk about the conspiracies. First, we'll address the elephant in the room, the new online theory that 5G causes coronavirus. So this one is relatively easy to debunk. 5G technology cannot break chemical bonds, which is a common claim that conspiracy theorists use. On top of the fact that viruses are visible, we can literally see that they physically exist. We can study them. We can look at their literal DNA. So ultimately, just know that 5G does not cause coronavirus. Is 5G bad for birds? This study is quoted often to explain how the electromagnetic noise of 5G can disrupt the migration of birds. But these researchers actually found that it is longer wavelengths, more like similar to AM radio type wavelengths, that were actually affecting migrating birds. And they have actually come out and tried to speak openly, trying to explain that their research is getting cherry-picked to try and say something about 5G that they never said.
Does the new British 20-pound note show coronavirus and 5G? These conspiracy theories have been popping up, stating that the 20-pound note has a 5G tower giving off radiation and the coronavirus is above. This is actually an image of the Margate Lighthouse, and behind it is the new Turner Contemporary Art Gallery. The purple foil patch is based on the staircase at the Tate Modern. We've now left the science territory though, so let's get back on track. If you are interested in conspiracy theories and the science behind why they work so well, we actually have a video we made all about that. We'll link it in the description. So to recap, 1. 5G technology uses wavelengths within the super high and extra high frequency spectrum. 2. These fall into the category of non-ionizing radiation, meaning they can't damage DNA or destroy cells. 3. 5G does have the capacity to heat exposed tissue, but due to regulation will remain below the threshold known to cause any damage. 4. The current scientific consensus is that 5G does not show adverse impacts on health, like headaches, sleep, cognitive function, or cancer. And 5. 5G has nothing to do with coronavirus.
The newly published guidelines about regulating 5G, I'm going to link in the description below so that you can read them yourself. Now, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't be skeptical of technological advances. I mean, honestly, we did all this research and made this video because we were skeptical ourselves. I do think it is important that we continue to regulate and understand how all of these technologies that are going to be used around us work. But at the end of the day, we also need to listen to science and to listen to the scientific consensus in order to guide our knowledge.
We talk more about 5G and conspiracy theories in our newest podcast with a Harvard professor who studies disinformation campaigns and conspiracies. So definitely click that and check it out.
It's fascinating. It's really a good way to understand how these conspiracy theories are spreading. But if you haven't subscribed, make sure you've done that, right? What else can they do? Subscribe to our...
Okay, that's the end of that. So, all right. So, in other words, 5G does not cause coronavirus, blah, 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 blah. But there will be people out there trying to spread it around because they know a lot of people will not sit down and actually read and actually do research and find out what the deal is. And that's where they get you. The next one, next clip we got. This is a good one. This is one that everybody, this is not a long video, which is probably good because it's nonsense. The Illuminati got to be so popular that I read comic books. I've been reading comics for 30 years, longer than that. And Marvel Comics has got its own Illuminati. And the Illuminati in the Marvel Comics world are in the Marvel Universe. So they get together underground in an underground layer and do stuff. And that's basically what this Illuminati thing is all about. That some people get together, they get underground, and they have meetings, and they plot, and they do all kinds of nefarious things. So if you were ever wondering what the Illuminati was about, where it came from, here you go.
Is Jay-Z really in the Illuminati? Is Donald Trump? Is Katy Perry? Am I?
Everyone from the BBC to Beyoncé has been accused of being part of the Illuminati, a secret group said to comprise of the world's most powerful people seeking to establish a new world order.
Even if you haven't heard of the Illuminati, chances are you've probably seen one of the symbols associated with them. Pentagrams, goats, even the all-seeing eye that's found on US banknotes.
References have also cropped up in music videos, such as Rihanna's S&M, which featured a fake newspaper with a headline declaring her Princess of the Illuminati.
So why do musicians and artists like to play around with references to the Illuminati?
I think quite simply, they're just having fun. They're just entertained by these stories, like many of us are. I'm reminded of a conspiracy theory from 1966 that Paul McCartney of the Beatles had died in a car crash on the way home after doing some recording. And he'd been replaced by a Canadian DJ who looked a lot like him and quickly learnt to play the bass and sing. Paul McCartney has never denied this conspiracy theory. He's always kept quiet about it. And I think McCartney, like Jay-Z, Rihanna and others, is just entertained by the story.
So who are the Illuminati? Are they really a shadowy elite who control the world?
The Illuminati were, to the best of our knowledge, a Bavarian secret society formed in the 18th century. It opposed superstition, religious influence, and state authority. They even created a rule book which stated that the order of the day is to put an end to the machinations of the purveyors of injustice, to control them without dominating them. The Bavarian group eventually faded into irrelevance and has nothing to do with modern concepts of the Illuminati.
The conspiracy theory that we know about today stems from the Discordian movement. The story goes that Discordianism began in 1965 in the office of a Texas drug attorney.
Two schoolmates, Greg Hill and Kerry Thornley, used the office photocopier to publish copies of the Principia Discordia, the movement's founding text. The book promoted the idea that chaos is as important as order, and Discordianism gathered steam throughout the 60s and 70s, with Hill and Thornley actively trying to cause mischief and spread disinformation. Their mission was expanded even further by two other Americans, a writer called Robert Anton Wilson and his friend Robert Shea.
Wilson was editor at Playboy, and the two of them decided they would write a novel, and they would throw all of the great conspiracy theories into this novel and call it Illuminatus. And in fact, they enjoyed it so much they turned it into a trilogy. They decided that it would be fun to try and spread a little chaos and misinformation deliberately about the Illuminati. And they did this by writing letters to the mainstream press, by writing letters to fanzines, which were popular at the time, but also through the letters page of Playboy itself.
They would also write in letters from imaginary readers saying that the Illuminati weren't real at all, or were kind of sitting on the fence. It didn't really matter. What did matter is that all these people seemed to be generating this conversation about the Illuminati, and the idea was that you, as the reader, were supposed to question that, interrogate it, ask, are they really real?
The myth travelled far and wide. Wilson and Shea's The Illuminatus trilogy attributed some of the mysteries of the time, such as who shot John F. Kennedy, to the Illuminati.
Although the multitude of conspiracy theories that appear in the trilogy are imaginary, they're blended with enough truth to make them seem plausible.
Probably the oddest theory was the suggestion that Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati, assassinated George Washington and assumed his identity as President of the USA. Believers of this theory point to Washington's portrait on the US $1 bill, which they suggest is actually the face of Weishaupt. Despite its lack of mainstream sales, the trilogy became a cult favorite. It was even made into a mammoth 8-hour stage play in Liverpool, launching the careers of British actors Bill Nighy and Jim Broadbent. The 70s print magazine culture seems distant now from our globalized, hyper-connected internet. But Illuminati rumors are still rife on websites such as 4chan and Reddit, where believers swap their favorite versions of the conspiracy and champion evidence to prove it's still in existence. Ultimately, it's not down to a shadowy elite whether you choose to believe in the Illuminati conspiracy theory or not. It's up to you.
Thanks for watching.
Okay, that was the Illuminati. Next clip. This is a funny clip from the Daily Show, talking about stuff, conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff.
With coronavirus completely changing our way of life, there have been many questions that it has forced all of us to ask ourselves. Like, if grocery store workers and delivery people are essential workers, then shouldn't they earn a living wage? Should healthcare be tied to employment? Is it okay to have a romantic relationship with your houseplants? But once we get out of this, once this is all done and we can finally leave the house and do normal things like tongue kiss our Uber drivers, there's going to be one question. One question that people want an answer to more than anything. Where in the hell did this disease come from? Because before the virus shut down the world, people were happy. People were happy to accept the official explanation from China, which was that the virus originated at a live animal market where it somehow jumped from a bat to a human. And we were like, okay, I think that's the plot of Dark Knight, but we'll accept it. But now that all of us have been stuck in the house with nothing to do except throw our cats' birthday parties over Zoom, everyone at home has had time to come up with some theories about how exactly they think this whole thing went down. Now, I've also been spending a lot of time online, and the most common conspiracy theory I've seen is that the virus jumped from a bat to a human, the same way Oreos jump from packaging into my roommate's mouth. I know where they're going, Billy. I see you. And this is a theory many people were willing to accept because of racism. People are saying that in China, they eat all kinds of crazy things. Hell, I heard they eat cookies with a piece of paper inside. I was also ready to believe this pandemic could have started as a food thing. Because, look, man, I've been in situations where food starts a thing. Like, I was on a flight once where one person ate a tuna sandwich, but then we all paid the price. So the story made sense until it came out that those viral videos of people eating bat soup weren't even filmed in China. Yeah. And then we found out that viruses can't survive cooking anyway. So that was out the window. Then I heard about a different conspiracy theory that totally makes sense. You see, it turns out Corona was never just a virus. No, it was actually a weapon created to take old people out.
If you go online, there's no shortage of conspiracy theories. All right, so here's one. The virus was bioengineered in a lab by scientists to be used as a weapon or a form of population control.
This is a theory former politician Bronwyn Bishop has also suggested.
It is to get rid of non-productive Chinese in the Chinese community. In the words of George Bernard Shaw, should be eliminated so they don't have to be fed. Whoa.
Roseanne Barr is calling the novel coronavirus pandemic a ploy to kill baby boomers.
You know what it is, Norm?
All right, now this theory made complete sense. Who dies the most from the virus? Old people. Who dies the most anyway? Old people. Bam, it's the perfect crime. And think about it. As soon as people started saying, okay, boomer, all of a sudden we got coronavirus and old people are dying, that can't be a coincidence. And you might be asking, oh, why would anyone want to take out all the old people? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because someone was tired of giving up their seat on the bus. Maybe restaurant owners are just tired of having to open for dinner at 3 p.m. Maybe young people were just tired of getting their ass whipped at bingo. The point is, the motive is there. Now, I will admit, as much as I wanted to believe that theory, I had to let it go. Okay? Because a team of scientists with degrees and qualifications, they sequenced the genome of the coronavirus. They broke it down. And they found that unlike every butt in Miami, this virus definitely wasn't man-made. So, okay, fine. Maybe this wasn't a biological weapon designed to destroy the slot machine economy. But that wasn't my favorite theory anyway. Because there's one theory one theory that actually makes the most sense, and it was this.
There's a conspiracy theory sweeping the globe that coronavirus is caused by 5G technology.
The theory is that 5G damages the human immune system.
All of us should know what's taking place right under our noses.
What 5G actually does, it absorbs oxygen, and that's really important to know.
5G gets switched on, people drop like flies, and all of a sudden you've got the excuse because, well, there's a virus going on.
Some people in the UK bought into it so much they started lighting cell phone towers on fire.
5G burning. Burn it.
Yes! Burn those cell phone towers down! We gotta put an end to coronavirus and all group chats. I don't know who any of you people are, but I did not ask to be a part of this group. Now, I know some of you are sitting at home right now smug, like, oh, how does 5G cause a virus? How does that? I'll tell you how. Ask yourself this question. What is 5G? It's a super fast network that runs through the air. You know what else goes through the air? Coronavirus. What else goes through the air? Superman. And what burger did I eat while watching the last Superman movie? Five Guys. Five Guys, 5G. I rest my case. Now, I'm not gonna lie. There are a few coverage gaps in this 5G theory. Just a few things that make me doubt. For starters, every part of this theory is completely ridiculous and biologically impossible. Not to mention, coronavirus has also exploded in places where they don't even have 5G, so I haven't figured that out yet. And 5G, just like 4G and 3G before it, is broadcast at such a low frequency, it's too weak to do any damage to you. Yeah, so saying 5G makes you sick is sort of like saying an iPhone flashlight gave you a sunburn. In fact, 5G, broadcast in the same range as a normal radio. Yeah. And let's be honest, the most dangerous thing we've gotten from a radio wasn't a virus. It was mumbo number 5. And that only killed, 6,000 people tops? So, where did the coronavirus come from? I don't know. Are you happy I said it? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I don't care if any of these conspiracy theories have been debunked. I'm not taking any chances. From now on, I will no longer be ordering the Popeye's spicy bat sandwich, even though it's delicious. I also decided I'm not going to get old. It's just too risky. And most importantly, I've stopped using cell phones. Yeah, no 5G for me. From now on, I only use a pager. And yeah, I know that makes it harder to send nudes, but I'm going to do my best. And I know the alternative to all of this is that I could just wait for doctors and scientists to figure out where this virus came from. But I mean, come on, man. I'm not crazy. Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, if you are able to help people who are...
So, we were just told a few seconds ago that 5G didn't, so these conspiracy theories are just nuts. So, the last one for the show, there's something that went out a few, months ago, talking about there's some video that's out called Plandemic. And it's just... this pandemic thing is just full of shit. So we'll talk about this, and this is the last clip of the night.
A slew of COVID-19 misinformation has been going viral on social media. One video making the rounds is called Plandemic. It features a former scientist claiming this coronavirus did not occur naturally. Far from it.
It's very clear this virus was manipulated. This family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory. And this is what was released, whether deliberate or not. That cannot be naturally occurring.
That's just one example of the claims that the former scientist made in the video. It has since been removed from various social media platforms, including Facebook and YouTube. My next guest is leading a team of researchers investigating COVID-19 misinformation and how it spreads. Timothy Caulfield is the Canada Research Chair in Health and Law Policy, and he is a professor and the research director of the Health Law Institute at the University of Alberta. He joins me now from Edmonton. Timothy, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me on.
We're going to get to various examples, including the one that I just showed. But first of all, tell us about the research you've been doing on COVID-19 misinformation and how you're doing it.
Well, this is research that builds on stuff we've been doing for decades, really. We're looking at misinformation on traditional sources of news. We're looking at it on social media, of course, and we're also looking at it in the context of search engines. And then some of our research collaborators like Gordon Pennycook in Saskatchewan, we're going to look at how people actually react to that information. And of course, we want to do this in order to craft guidelines and recommendations and how we can all of us, fight misinformation.
Yeah, it's interesting. You say the context of research engines. What does that mean?
What I mean by that is, you know, search engines, I should be saying, you know, people,
yeah.
You know, search engines really shape our universe. When we have a question about something, we go to Google, we go to Instagram, and we go to Twitter, and we put in a question, and what pops up really shapes our universe. So we want to get a sense of exactly what pops up and how accurate it is.
Okay. What are some of the most common conspiracy theories that you've been hearing about?
There's so many. It's hard to keep up. Every day it seems like there's a new one. And you can kind of put them on a continuum from the absurd, the idea of like you're supposed to drink urine, cow urine to cure the disease, you know, cocaine, bleach, those kinds of really crazy cures, to the things that seem more plausible, like the idea that we can boost our immune system with various therapies, you know, supplements and spinal manipulation, to the ideas that seem to have more scientific validity, like the idea of the malaria drug, right? The idea that drug can actually be beneficial. And of course, that hydroxychloroquine, that's right, can actually also lead to a lot of science policy issues and health policy issues, as we saw.
Yeah. One of the videos that's been getting a lot of traction, I've seen it in my feed, people have been sharing it, is the video called Plendemic. Let's take a listen to one of the claims mentioned in that video.
The AMA was saying, you know, doctors will lose their license if they use hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malarial drug that's been on the list of essential medicine worldwide for 70 years. Dr. Fauci calls that anecdotal
data.
It's not storytelling if we have thousands of pages of data saying it's effective against these families of viruses.
Okay, what do you make of this claim?
Well, I can't deny that this was infuriating listening to this because it is a real misrepresentation of both the science and what the science says. Of course, she's talking about the use of this drug in the context of malaria, where it has been effective. And no, anecdotal research is not the kind of research we need in this context. In fact, that's exactly what went off the rails, because there were a few small studies that were suggestive of the idea that this might be beneficial. And of course, what we need is good research. We need clinical trials in order to tease out what's really going on. And as that research has played out, we've seen at best the story is more complicated than was portrayed early on. And perhaps this doesn't even work at all. So it's a really good example of how you can twist science, make something sound really credible, and inject distrust into the public discourse. So, you know, really problematic.
Yeah, another portion of this video is also repeated by other groups as well, and that is this virus was made in a lab.
Yeah, and again, really frustrating. No evidence to support that at all. Look, you know, if you look at the scientific consensus right now that's emerging, and yes, there's a lot of uncertainty still. That, you know, the science is tough. Everyone thinks this is a naturally occurring virus. And she really hammers home this idea that it was manipulated and then came from a lab. And that sounds intuitively pleasing, because there's a complete story that people can grapple onto. It's so much easier, maybe it feels a little more attractive to have a story that provides an explanation, as opposed to this is complicated, we're uncertain, and we're still investigating it. But that is not what the scientific her story is not what the scientific consensus supports. But there also might be an ideological element to it, because that story might align with people's other beliefs.
For example.
Well, perhaps they have an ideological view of the role of China here. It also supports the idea that information is being suppressed. So it sort of aligns with the deep state conspiracy theories that are out there. And therefore, if you already believe those kinds of conspiracy theories, this one might seem a little bit more plausible.
I wonder if also it's because so many people are at home alone and there are so few people to talk things over with that you don't get that kind of critical thinking and analysis that comes from just saying, hey, look at this idea. What do you think of this? Oh, yeah, and then maybe that's true or maybe that's not true or that doesn't make sense or that appears to make sense. What do you think?
You know, that's a really good idea, and because this is such a unique situation. Now, I don't have any data to back up what you're saying, but there's certainly evidence to suggest that if you do not think about it, if you do not think critically about something, you're more likely to share it. In fact, that's one of the things that we can do as individuals, is we can just invite ourselves, remind ourselves to think about accuracy, to think about source before sharing it. And if you're alone and you're just being bombarded by all this information, you know, social media is a very kind of frantic environment, right? It sort of invites that quick response. And if you're alone and you're dealing with social media, you're more likely perhaps to spread this stuff. So it's a good opportunity to remind people to pause and think about accuracy before they pass it along.
All right. Timothy, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Carol.
Timothy Caulfield is...
All right. That's the last clip of the night. Excuse me. That is the end of the show. So just basically just want to talk about those. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to try to change your mind if you believe in those type of things. I mean, that's, you know, that's your prerogative. But they are out there. Like I said, I know people that know that believes this crap. And it's like, you know, half the time I don't even say anything because, you know, I don't want to get something, an argument started, because some people, I mean, they're just really into this stuff. And it's like, you know what, I'm not going to, I just shake my head and I just keep it moving. But, you know, people are into this stuff. I mean, if you're into it, you know, knock yourself out. I'm not into it. My thing is, I have to read and get to the bottom of this stuff before I make up my mind. You know, I have to find out the facts. Just like that old guy used to say on the old TV show, just the facts. Just give me the facts. Don't start making up junk because I don't want to hear it. Just give me the straight up facts and then I can make up my own mind. You know, security work that I've been doing for over 20 years, whenever we have to write reports, we have to stick with the facts, the what, the whens, the where, the why, the how. You know, we can't put stuff in reports that doesn't have anything to do with what the report is about. And I think a lot of these things, it's like, you know, somebody will hear something and they'll just add stuff onto it. And, you know, just like that video, you know, the report's now talking about that the stuff was, you know, that this virus was made in the lab, that China made it. Then there's something else going around talking about that Democrats made the virus up in the lab. And then they spread it around because they're trying to get rid of Trump. Well, the stupid shit that Trump is doing, he's going to get rid of himself by himself. He's not going to need a whole lot of help, because he doesn't know what he's doing. So people will make up stories to try to vindicate him, try to justify and all that. But, you know, don't believe the hype. Like my favorite old school group would always say back in the day, Public Enemy. So that's the end of the show for tonight. I will be back next week. I think I know what I'm talking about next week, but I haven't made up my mind if I'm going to talk about it next week or not. If I don't have time, I may go to another topic, or I may just go back to the news of the week. I hadn't decided yet, but I'm still working on it. So just be back next week, 7 o'clock until 8:30-ish, for another episode of the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary. I will see you on the other side. Peace out.